you a high performer, obsessed with growth, and looking for an edge? Welcome to Mind Body Peak Performance. Together, we'll discover underground secrets to unlocking the full potential of your mind, body, and spirit. We'll learn from some of the world's leading minds, from ancient wisdom to cutting-edge tools and everything in between. This is your host, Nick Urban. Enjoy the episode. Hello, and welcome back to the podcast with your host, Nick Urban. Today, I'm excited to bring you a topic and a whole bodily system that you may have never heard of. It's been dubbed the master regulator of the body. And sharing this with us today is Scott Schwab. Scott is an author, speaker, entrepreneur, and innovator. In 2014, Scott authored the book Standing Accountable, Increase Your Success by Holding Yourself Responsible. In 2018, Scott became a TED speaker and spoke about how time is killing education. That same year, Scott was awarded 40 Under 40 recognition for his accomplishments in his career. In 2019, Scott and two partners launched an agri-tech company called MET in the industrial hemp industry and began building a seed-to-shelf solution for the industry. Fast forward to today, the business is changing the way we see and experience hemp. With advancements in cell mapping, data compiling for genome and DNA recognition, MET and MET Naturals, the customer-focused brand, will deliver individualized recommendations for full and broad-spectrum capabilities that connect to the endocannabinoid system. And if that all sounds too complicated, don't worry. In a few minutes, Scott will break all of that down. Now, we just barely touched the surface of the fascinating world of the endocannabinoid system. It exerts adaptogen-like effects that help rebalance the body and maintain homeostasis. It also acts like the dimmer switch on an overactive immune system. Endocannabinoids strengthen social bonding, helps vision, rebalances the nervous system, quells inflammation, and one of my favorites, it increases levels of a neurotransmitter called anandamide, better known as the bliss molecule, or sometimes called divine happiness. You know that association between running and feeling good, the afterglow? For a while, it was thought to be the result of endorphins, but we now know that anandamide is much more powerful and effective to elicit that state. So we'll cover more of the science of the endocannabinoid system and hemp in a future episode. But for now, Scott agreed to give you an exclusive discount on your order. Just use the code URBAN, URBAN, on the MET Naturals site, and that'll save you 10%. Ladies and gentlemen, sit back, relax, and enjoy this conversation with Scott Schwab. Scott, welcome to Mind Body Peak Performance.
Nick, thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure to have you today.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
We'll start off with our typical warm-up question, and that is, so far today, what are the unusual things you've done for your health and performance?
Yeah, great question. So I am digging by hand with a wheelbarrow, a berm in the back of my yard, and it's a lot of dirt. Like, we're talking 40,000 plus pounds of dirt so far. So for me, I love to be able to challenge myself. And that's the thing that I started today with, digging into this berm. I'm almost done. I'm building a retaining wall. So that's what I started my day today with.
Yeah, it's a big project, and just taking it one scoop, one shovelful at a time.
Yep. Yeah, it's therapy, right? I actually enjoy it quite a bit. I grew up on a farm, so, you know, being a farm kid was normal. Moving pipe in the morning was normal. Digging holes was normal. So I'm just living my normal life.
Well, that's the perfect segue into the topic of today's conversation. How would you sell someone the benefit of consuming hemp for their overall health and well-being?
Yeah, I would talk to him first about the hemp plant and its properties. There's a lot of compounds within a hemp plant. And so if you think of a hemp plant as like a binding agent, like if we look at like how it works on the, we'll call it construction side, right? Hemp is a really strong binding agent that makes concrete 10 times stronger. It does a similar thing in hemp board. It makes hemp wool, or what we see in insulation, more breathable. It makes it a higher quality, warmer and cooler, just because you've got fibers that are very strong, but also porous. And that's what makes the hemp plant so amazing, is that porous, or we'll call aromatic aspect. And so think of the hemp plant as a super plant. But the cool thing is all of us, every mammal has an endocannabinoid system. And so when you take a hemp plant, which is rich as a phytocannabinoid, and you pair that or bind that with the endocannabinoid system, you really start to see a lot of support in ways of pain relief, inflammation relief. You get to see anxiety reduction. You get to see sleep aid. And those are just some of the most common. It even extends to seizure medicine. You know, the FDA has approved a hemp-based or a CBD-based medicine that Charlotte's Web actually worked with the FDA for years on. So that's one of those little benefits that those who have seizures can reduce those seizures and, you know, sometimes even eliminate those. So it's a really neat plant, and how it interacts with our body is incredible.
Yeah. And there's also benefits for athletic recovery. It really is one of those things that, I guess, because it stimulates sleep and also at the cellular level has benefits. And then it's also used in some more cutting edge nootropics to balance out the brain stimulating effects of, say, something like methylene blue and Troscription's product. There's a lot of cool uses for it, and we're only scratching the surface of everything it can do.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Thanks for mentioning those, Nick.
Yeah. And then one thing that was, it seems central to it from my understanding, is the endocannabinoid system. Can you explain what that is and why it matters?
Yeah, it matters because it's a system that's essential to our body. Now, when we look at like receptors, you've got a CB1 receptor, you got a CB2 receptor. But mainly, if you think of our body like a mainframe computer, you have messaging that is constantly going from brain and spinal cord all the way throughout all of our nerve system, our nerve endings. And, you know, you've got blood flow. Well, think of the endocannabinoid system as a system that actually integrates with all of these other types of systems, including respiratory. And so we did a study about 6 months ago about cytokine inflammation. And cytokines are what you would find in the respiratory system. And oftentimes cytokine or cytokine storm is mentioned with like respiratory sickness or respiratory inflammation. We were able to reduce the cytokine inflammation by 96% every single time. Wow. And so when I think about a cytokine aspect, I'm thinking respiratory, but like you brought up athletics and recovery, that's both sleep and sleep cycles. And it's also just pain management, pain relief, right? And our body does all of those things very well. But we live in a world of inflammation. And so the endocannabinoid system, if thought about probably from the easiest perspective, it's the system that controls the receptors, controls the feels, the moods, controls the pain, the inflammation, and ultimately is most responsible for a body's response to circumstances around them.
I was just at a event here in Austin, KetoCon, and Sean Wells was talking about how the endocannabinoid system is the body's master regulator.
Ah, I like that. I'm going to use that, Sean.
And so then, because I'm assuming that previous humans didn't consume cannabis ad nauseum around the clock, how did they stimulate their endocannabinoid system?
Well, you can actually get the endocannabinoids or cannabinoids from other things like echinacea. You can get it from kale. You can get it from other plants that are grown. So you're going to find it mostly in like a botanical. But at the same time, like one of the interesting things that I found when I first started researching cannabinoids is cannabinoids are transferred from a mother who breastfeeds her baby. And so when you've got that transfer, our body is already creating cannabinoids like our body already creates creatine, right? Creatine is a natural substance or a sub of a substance that is created in our body. But when our bodies go throughout a day of health or having, you know, the various things that we deal with, we're going to reduce our levels of, in this case, cannabinoids. And so we may be deficient in cannabinoids.
Yeah.
Our endocannabinoid system is going to utilize what it has and get it from its own nutrients. But when it is deficient, it is looking for cannabinoids that it can utilize to make our bodies more holistically well.
That's a good point, that as the stress burden on us, the toxins that we're exposed to, the inflammation, all that increases, then we need a corresponding increase in cannabinoids to achieve homeostasis and balance.
You've got it. And you said that really well, Nick.
Let's talk about the different types of cannabis now and what cannabis is versus hemp, just so listeners have some background as to this whole world.
Yeah. And I think the thing that's important to note is early 1900s, hemp was grown everywhere. Hemp was utilized in everything from like making clothes and textiles to making rope to making wood. Like it was really well utilized and consumed. I mean, we see hemp seed oil, we see hemp hearts, and those are some of the derivatives of what previously were. But when it got put into the category of a banned substance or a controlled substance, we've lost 60 to 70 years of research, honestly. Wow. And the challenge with that is, okay, well, what is it used for? How can I utilize it? Is it studied? We've also got, structures within our country, FDA would be one of them, but we've got these regulatory bodies that oversee what it is that we put into our body so that we can be safe. Necessary, but at the same time, not always aligned with what we would find in what our body's needs are, right? Because it was the FDA that approved sugar, and you can go all day long on sugar and its harms and sugar and some of the challenges that it prevents or that it causes for people. But what I would say is like hemp is something that provides value for the human body. And the reason being is because of that binding agent, right? Mm. We need nutrients. Where are we going to go and get those? We know that over the last 50 years of farming, yields may have increased, but nutrition has decreased. And so when we are eating corn, when we are eating onions, potatoes, we're having to eat more so that we can get the same amount of nutrients as we were getting in the 70s and the 80s. It's just because we're trying to control the food and the growth and get higher yields, but at the same time, sacrificing some of the nutritional value. Yeah. And that's why for us, it's so important to align with a farm or farms that have organic best practices, that there's not pesticides, herbicides, fungicides utilized to get an outcome. The plant can do what it needs to do all by itself. We just have to be able to make sure that we put it in an environment where it's going to thrive. And I would say the same thing for every human being. We're trying to find those environments and the regulation of all of the nutritional value that we need on a daily basis, right? We've got Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Maslow's hierarchy of needs corresponds with like what we would have found with the triangle, the nutrition triangle that all of us remember. Yeah. But there's some things that probably need to be adjusted. But nonetheless, nutrition, greens, and getting vegetables, that's still as important today as it ever was. And again, finding that is something that's essential. And so our message to customers is that hemp or CBD is not just something you take when you're feeling stress or not when you just take when you're trying to get some sleep. It should be a daily part of your life to help you regulate your body, your sleep, your holistic well-being, like you had mentioned.
Yeah, you just mentioned that greens should be an integral part of your life, and I agree. And I think there's a new wave of carnivore and people eschewing all types of produce in favor of meat products because they're easier to digest in terms of like there's no anti-nutrients in them. But at the same time, I think that's a limited viewpoint. I think a lot of the issues that people have around produce in general stems from what they're coated with, what they're grown with. And if you grow the produce properly on a farm that takes the proper precautions and uses the right methodologies, then these lectins, these phytates, all these different binding agents that prevent us from absorbing the nutrients won't necessarily be the same problem they are today.
Yeah. Well, and you're totally right. I mean, let's jump into the subject of CBD, right? A lot of people are familiar with it because they've seen it everywhere, but they also don't realize that their CBD is coming from an isolate. Well, let's look at where isolate is being sourced from. Currently, right now, isolate, 80% of it comes up from China and from foreign providers. And so when we look at like the hemp plant as an aromatic plant, meaning that it's going to suck everything up in the ground and suck everything up from its environment, man, if you've got an environment that really isn't very pure or very clean, you're going to suck all of those toxins in. Now, the thought of the day is, well, we'll just burn that off through the process of extraction, right? And so people are soaking it in ethanol and CO2. They're soaking it in butane, hexane. Those are all gases and alcohols that ultimately aren't necessarily the best for your body. And so if we can take the plant in its purity, grow it in an environment is very well, we'll say, maintained and managed, and then we're not putting it in heaps of piles where there's going to be mold, because mold is very difficult, if not impossible, to remediate out. Yeah. And so you've got to hang these plants. These plants really have to be cared for very well. But when you do that, people get incredible results. And that's what we've found with Met Naturals, but also avoiding the extraction methodologies that come with gasoline or come with any type of alcohol. We just use heat and pressure. There's nothing added. There's nothing taken away. But you preserve this rich orchestra of a plant that gives you more of that entourage effect that we're all looking for, of that total body mind peace that people are searching for, but they don't want to get high. And ultimately, our product isn't going to take you that psychoactive route, but it is going to provide you those same relaxing benefits or those same regulatory benefits to get your body back on track, or to get your sleep back on track, get your mind back on track. But don't expect to take it one time and be like, oh, all is good. It's a consistent thing. And in our point of view, it's a daily thing.
Can you define some of these terms for us, like such as isolate, and then the difference between cannabis and hemp, and then broad spectrum versus full spectrum? Because it's confusing when you're just getting started.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for slowing it down there. So isolate is a powderized mix where ultimately you're burning off all of the other impurities that a plant or a substance would have. So let's take the hemp plant. There's over 113 cannabinoids. There's also terpenes and there's flavonoids present in the plant. But if you're going to soak it in some type of like a alcohol base or a petroleum base, you're now starting to strip out the oil from the plant. But they'll do that over and over again. So all terpenes are burned off, all flavonoids are burned off, even every other cannabinoid is burned off except for the major cannabinoid, in this case being CBD. And so you're stripping the nutrient from what it was intended to be or what it was intended to do. So they'll take that isolate, and manufacturers will make a series of different products, whether it be gummies, whether it be the dropper, the tinctures, whether it be capsules. And they're like, hey, this is great CBD. Well, that might be fine, but there's 112 other cannabinoids that are missing. And there's also terpenes that are missing and flavonoids, which we found in our research that they are essential to the whole process and the whole product. So let's talk about full and broad spectrum. Full spectrum is the full capability of the plant. So when we think of all of the orchestra of cannabinoids, you are going to have THC, you are going to have CBD, you're going to have all of the different cannabinoids. It just depends on where that plant grew from. So let's kind of make a sidestep here. Marijuana is high in THC. And the THC levels are going to be the highest cannabinoid, or it's going to be the highest level of cannabinoids that you're going to find. You'll still find some CBD in there. You'll still find some CBG, CBN, CBC. Like all those things are going to be present. But what is the major cannabinoid? And in a marijuana plant case, it's going to be THC. take a different genetic and you're going to find hemp, where hemp grows higher in levels of CBD, CBG, CBN. It depends on your strain and where you're starting from, right? So genetics do matter. And that's what we feel like is so important for a person to understand is CBD is great, but there's all these other cannabinoids that we should be experimenting with, which is what we're doing. But when we're talking about full spectrum, it's the full plant. But don't be looking at it from a perspective of I'm going to get high with this, because to be CBD, we have to be under the legal limit of 0.3. And so because of that legality that exists through the farm bill, we're always going to stay below that level. And so you're really just getting trace amounts when it comes down to it. And so don't expect to get high. Don't expect to have these like trips of something that might be familiar with like the THC side, but do expect relaxation, do expect regulation. Now, broad spectrum.
Before we go on.
Yeah.
To contrast that, that's 0.03% THC. Compare that to like your traditional pot, which you're going to find wherever you find it, where it's legal. And that'll be between what, 15 and 25%?
Easy. Yeah, easy.
So you can see it's just a tiny fraction, even though it's still full spectrum.
Yeah, thank you so much for pointing that out, because again, oftentimes people will approach the subject of CBD and say, I don't want to get high. You just say, good news, you're not going to, because CBD is not, you know, genetically grown to be that way or provide that effect.
Yeah. So all the products, even the full spectrum product, still is very, very low in THC.
Yep. Correct. Now, when we've got folks who are firefighters, police officers, teachers, and there's going to be testing, even trace amounts can show up in your Delta profile. So what I would tell you is if you have any testing that is done with your job, I wouldn't take full spectrum. It's not worth that risk. And so broad spectrum removes the THC or remediates out the THC so that there's no Delta complex. So your Delta 8, Delta 9, Delta 10, those won't exist. Now, Delta 8 and Delta 10 are more genetically modified, and we're seeing that in a lot of gummies and seeing that in a lot of other products. But naturally, from CBG, you have a derivative of THCA. And that's a lot of fancy talk, but just realize that the plant will grow trace amounts of THC. But if you remediate that out, that's what broad spectrum is.
I see. So how do you choose? How do you go about choosing whether you want an isolate, a broad spectrum, or full spectrum? If you're getting drug tested for work, you're not going to want a full spectrum. You'll want broad spectrum instead. But how do you choose between others?
Yeah, great question. For me, I always go with the most nutrients that I can get or the closest I can get to the plant. And so for me, it's always full and broad spectrum. And we recommend that our customers do the same. Only because if you don't and you go straight to an isolate, well, maybe the CBD compound is not necessarily the best thing for you. And so for us, we say preserve that rich orchestra, and then you're able to figure out whether the full spectrum or the broad spectrum is best for you. I generally will tell people to start low and slow. So even let's say a dropper, a 1 milliliter dropper, that you would put under your tongue, you're accessing the mucous membrane, so it's going to go directly into your body. I would tell you, don't start with like 2, 3, 4 like droppers. You don't need that. See how your body's going to respond. So maybe start with 0.25, 0.5. I always tell people, like, think of it in terms of like a synthetic, like aspirin or Tylenol or Excedrin. How many are you taking to find relief for like a headache or for soreness? And I would tell you the same type of a thing. If you're the person that takes one Tylenol and you feel all of it, you should probably take 0.25 to 0.5. If you're the type of person who is taking up to one and possibly 2, 3 Tylenols, then you could take a full milliliter and it's not going to cause any type of, you know, strangeness. Because it's not, again, it's not a high feeling, but your body is going to start feeling it, processing it, and you're going to say, okay, I'm feeling more relaxed. I'm feeling more capable. I'm feeling more circulation. Those are some of the effects that you should expect. But again, don't expect it the first time a lot of people feel it the first time, but don't expect that. I would tell you, get it into a cycle of a week to 2 weeks, and then make your judgment whether you're taking the right amount, taking the right dose. Everybody wants immediate answers. And with relation to the body and specifically the endocannabinoid system, it's an art and a science.
Yeah.
Just realize that you're going to be fine tuning that. But ultimately, we're really doing a lot on the genetic side to try and give people better answers.
Yeah. When I talk to people and they say that they've tried CBD, I always pry a little more and figure out if it's an isolate or broad spectrum or full spectrum, especially if they say they had bad results because, or they didn't feel it, because almost always it's an isolate. And once they try a broad spectrum or full spectrum, especially if it's a high quality product, it's a completely different experience because of what you alluded to earlier, which is the entourage effect.
Yep, exactly. And so if you've tried it before and maybe it wasn't an experience that you felt or that you could recommend to somebody else, I would recommend that you try a full or a broad spectrum and do it for a couple of days and see the difference, because you will feel it and you will experience something that's very different than your first experience.
And what is the entourage effect?
The entourage effect is a body-mind connectivity that allows us to be able to both utilize the senses of feel and smell and taste to coming together to provide this holistic well-being or this holistic state of mind or homeostasis that allows us to be able to be at ease or to be relaxed.
I think it was probably about 4 or 5 years ago, I heard someone named Dr. Zach Bush talking about farming, and it was like a light bulb moment when all of a sudden I realized there's a lot here. And I think that if you're eating food that wasn't farmed appropriately, as we talked about earlier, you're going to be fighting an uphill battle the whole time to get healthy, because it'll be lower in nutrients, higher in toxins. You're going to have a hard time assimilating the nutrients. You might develop food sensitivities and other problems related to it. And when I came across what you guys are working on and what you've created, I noticed that you've taken a much better approach, a more holistic approach to farming. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, you bet. And thank you for bringing that up. So earlier in our conversation, we talked about the aromatic nature of the plant. We are testing all of our soil down to the billionth particle. That's huge. Like, just think of in terms of a billion. That's what we're testing, all of the soil before we ever put a seed into the ground. Now, the reason that we do that is because over the years and years and years of farming, practices for farming included using pesticides, using herbicides, and some of those things end up with heavy metals in the soil, right? And so those are the things that we want to avoid ever being in our product. And so we're going to test for it. And when we test for it, we're testing conventional land, we're testing organically certified land, organic land, because they're all just certifications, right? But what we're trying to do is we're trying to actually see both the makeup of the ground and then also what pH levels would look like, and so that we can grow the most optimum product. And that's where we start. So if you think of us like a data company, we're looking at everything down to the billionth particle before the seed goes into the ground. And then we continue that with third-party testing from the state, from different third-party labs, to give us a sense of what's here in this plant, what's being, you know, provided as far as like as the plant grows, what is its level of compounds. We mostly grow a CBD, but the last couple of years have also grown a CBG called Eva's Gift. And it's amazing. And so each plant is going to be a little bit different, but by and large, what we're trying to find is the plant with the most compounds. Our plants that we grow specifically have 46 of the 113 identified cannabinoids. Wow. And so we're trying to get as many compounds as we can, but also provide this holistic approach to farming that does not include herbicides, fungicides, pesticides, insecticides. Mm-hmm.
So for my own context, what does your average CBD product, say broad spectrum CBD product, how many cannabinoids does that have in it?
You're going to have in the 40s every time.
And you guys are all, you're all organic, and obviously you pay attention to the soil, and that's the root of it all. If you don't pay attention to the soil, you can't have a high quality final product.
Correct. Yep. Like, and I would tell you that oftentimes we're blending some of our compounds, like for our sleep gels, we put in 10 milligrams of CBN, but those came from different plants so that we could have more of an orchestra. So you're going to have more cannabinoids in that, as well as our gummies. Our gummies have CBG, Eva's Gift, and then it has Bubba Kush, CBD. And so we're putting these compounds together where we're actually getting more of the compounds, more terpenes, and more flavonoids, which, again, those are the two variables that I really like to mention, because there's connectivity to both the support of the body and the mind when we start looking at terpenes as binding agents as well, and flavonoids as extenders of the compounds to the various parts of our body.
Yeah. Can you give us a walkthrough of a couple of the more popular cannabinoids and their uses? I know that I discovered firsthand when I got some hemp online and it was a high CBG strain and I didn't think much of it. And I thought, okay, how much difference can it really make? I made a batch of oil, and when I took it before bed, my mind was racing. I couldn't sleep. I'm like, what happened? This is supposed to be for sleep. And then I realized it was because of what I chose. So I noticed that it really did have an effect. And when I looked it up online, it turns out that it's well known to support energy. And I think CBN is better for sleep, which sounds like you add that to your sleep gummy.
Yep. You got it. It's funny because a lot of these cannabinoids through research are being shown to be responsive to our different aspects of our body. So like you said, CBG is immunity, it's energy. And so when we're talking about a gummy, we're going to be putting it in as a daily use type of a gummy where you can have energy and immunity, right?
Yeah.
Whereas CBN is going to be most associated with sleep and the compounds and needs of a sleep cycle. So when we were studying early on, every manufacturer that we were talking to was like, hey, we would like you to put melatonin in it. It's just what everybody does. And I'm like, no way. I'm like, that impacts the serotonin levels. It's not going to put somebody in a really restful state. So ultimately, we kicked the melatonin, and we started with some other compounds that I think people are familiar with, but chamomile and lavender. Mm-hmm. And that's our base. That's our foundation. And then we put CBD and CBN. And so you will have this type of sleep that is incredible, because we've been testing it on Oura Rings, wearables like the Fitbit, for over 6 months. And what we're finding is that recovery zone, or the green zone, the next day is very well established. Mm. But that's because people are getting more REM sleep and they're getting more deep sleep.
Yeah.
And so when they look at how long they actually slept through the night, it's more and more as they take our sleep product than just their body's own ability to put themselves to sleep. Because we got a lot of distractions. We got a lot of things on our mind. But if we can get to a point where we can both take a product that is totally nutrient-based or totally organically based, and then we wake up the next morning without the grogginess of some of the other sleep products, or like foggy, like some of the other sleep products, now we're able to function at our ideal and most, you know, high elevated capabilities.
Yeah, I've probably tried 20 to 40 different sleep supplements and different ingredients, experimented with all of them. And I keep coming back to the full spectrum hemp. That's by far the strongest and like most rejuvenating that I've tried. And when I sleep after taking that, I actually fall asleep quickly. I stay asleep. Very few things can make me stay asleep. I'm a light sleeper and I wake up throughout the night. So that's one of those things. And when I talk to people and tell them about this, they're always worried about habituation and the addictive potential of it.
Yeah. What I would tell you is that CBD is non-addictive. The cannabinoids are, again, just like what you would find in kale. So we eat kale and we're not addicted to kale, right? Yeah. But, well, maybe some people are. But THC is the addictive property. So when we're thinking about psychoactive, when we're thinking about the cannabinoid that is, you know, potentially harmful if not managed, it would be the THC compound. CBD is non-addictive, non-habit forming, and that's why it is such a good complement to the body. Your body's already creating cannabinoids. So all we're doing is we're just you know, supporting the body's natural ability. But unlike melatonin, when you're taking melatonin, your body shuts off the production of melatonin. And that's why there's some of this reliance on the melatonin. It's not that way for the body with cannabinoids. Cannabinoids are naturally produced. They're externally formed and brought into our body, like we talked about with like breast milk, echinacea, with some of these like kale products, but it's also internally generated as well. Our body naturally produces cannabinoids. And so when we have a really healthy balance with what we eat, botanicals, and then also what we take into our bodies, whether that be a full or broad spectrum, our body is now at its best case scenario to be able to produce nutrient-based, like holistic, really dialed in health for the day. And again, when you've got things going on, stress, fatigue, a lot of challenges that might exist health-wise or otherwise, like you've got to understand that CBD is not going to solve all of your problems, yeah. Right? Let's start with what we can solve, but not think that CBD is going to solve every issue that you might have, because there's real challenges and we support finding real help for those real challenges. What we want to do is we want to avoid the synthetics as much as possible because of what it does to your liver and kidneys. Mm-hmm. And then we also want to avoid the opioids just because of their addictive properties. So that's our why.
Yeah, that's a solid why. The other constituents you've mentioned inside cannabis include like what, the terpenes, the flavonoids, alkaloids. What role do those play? Like when you're growing a plant, do you measure and target certain levels of different alkaloids?
Yeah, we do. But I would tell you that the science on that really needs to advance. And when you're talking about the alkaloids, the flavonoids, the terpenes, think of it as an enhancement, right? It's coming from nature. It's coming from a plant. And so when utilized the right way, our body is going to gain more energy. Our body is going to gain more health or more sustainability or immunity, right? And so what we're trying to do is replicate that. And we replicate that in growing. But again, the modifying doesn't happen until the lab. And that's where the science needs to catch up with the art, which you just let this plant grow. It's going to grow well. Now, for our case, we have to walk the fields, and we do that every field that we plant, and we will take out the males. Reason being is because males will populate up to a 16-mile radius. And if you get males that start seeding out, your crop is very much at risk and very in danger of not becoming a crop at all. It'll just all seed out, which it isn't what a farmer wants. It isn't what the end consumer wants, because your quality product has now been deteriorated. And so when we walk the fields, we're looking for those male constituents that we can bag. We tie it, we take it to the end of the field, we dispose of it, because it has such potential to seed out and to be able to ruin an entire crop. And so those are things that are important to us, but we're also looking at the nutrients of the plants. And so we'll do multiple tests per field per month, just to make sure that they are getting the nutrients that they need. We use what's called drip line, or we water from below. One of the main reasons is circle pivots, and the water that, you know, circles around the field in those big machines, if somebody's not familiar, when you get the cola and the leaves, if you're watering from above, you can easily get mold that forms underneath of the leaves in the cola. And so we water from the ground up. You can either do it through furrow or you can do it through drip tape. But ultimately, it's watering everything from the ground level.
Scott, put me in your shoes. When you're doing market research and you're looking around to see what else is out there, how do you go about evaluating a product to determine if it's good or if it's a complete waste of time?
Yeah, a lot of it, we rely on our partners, right? We have a CGMP lab, Sawyer Labs, that we do all of our work with, and they are very, very capable at helping us to understand what's coming. I think you also have to have a little bit of innovation. And so I'll tell you a couple of examples. We've learned since we've been in this business that an omega-3 product is really effective at reproducing an entourage effect. Oh. Crazy, right? Yeah. What we've also found is that a nutrient called magnesium, which most of us are familiar with, is 70% of people, at least in the US, are deficient in magnesium. Yeah. So now we start to look and say, okay, well, how does the body actually feel better taking all of the different nutrients? And that's why we launched the DNA kit that we provide for our customers, is we're just looking at 8 different markers. And again, this is a partnership that we have with Genetic Guidance, but they've gone and done the research and the science behind what markers respond to CBD. And we have 8 different markers where I can tell you your chronotype, your alcohol level sensitivity. I can tell you what your social anxiety levels are. I can tell you how you're going to process or metabolize CBD. Mm. Now we're talking science. Now we're talking innovation, because I can take Nick, your profile, and say, well, Nick, actually, you need CBG for energy and you need CBN for sleep. And CBD is a great regulator throughout the day. But ultimately, here's what your dosing schedule would look like. Here's what your cadence would look like. And we're not too far away from that. I know right now it's our hypothesis, but ultimately what we're finding is people want answers. And a lot of those answers can come simply from their genetics. It's not us guessing what is right for them, whether it be full or broad spectrum. It's actually dialing it in and making sure that they understand what is right for them. And then that world is more customizable, right? And I believe that we'll be there in late 2023, early 2024, where we have essentially a customized kit that goes out to the customer, because we know exactly what genetically they need. Mm.
Tell me more about some of the other things you're discovering in terms of what people can do or take to get better effects out of their hemp.
Yeah. Again, our mindset is that there's a healthy amount of blending that can take place. And let me give you an example, right? Prior to me becoming, a person who utilized CBD on a daily basis, I wasn't taking a lot of different nutrients. I took my fish oils for joint support and for, brain health. And I took my magnesium every once in a while. But since taking CBD, I have really tapped into something that I sometimes will call like the fountain of youth, right? Not that I necessarily am going to be that guy that lives forever, the bionicle man by any means. But what I feel like is that on a daily basis, I am really dialed in. So back in 2008, I started a supplement company with a friend of mine. And so I was taking the pre-workouts, the post-workouts, I was taking creatine, I was taking branched chain amino acids, and some of those nutrients that you pair with weightlifting. But I didn't necessarily always have the same results that I'm getting now. I'm 10 years older now and feel better than I've ever felt before. And it's because I've been able to pair the things that are right for my body, like magnesium, like ashwagandha. I'm taking prebiotics and probiotics as well. And so not that I'm a person that's like, hey, take everything that you can get your hands on. But for me, magnesium is a staple in my life. I do have to get my proteins. A lot of times I'll just get those from my foods, but I will supplement when needed. The other things that I take, magnesium is really, really essential for me to have just kind of an overall good day and to be able to get ready for sleep when sleep time comes. Mm. But since taking CBD and starting met with a couple of my friends, is we found that there's a mix for each of us. Like for me, I take the capsules, soft gels in the morning. And I take them just like my multivitamin. Mm. If in the event that there's a lot of stress and pressure on the day, I will take a tincture about midday, right? But I don't always take the sleep gels because I don't necessarily always need them. But similar to what you've said is I fall asleep pretty quickly, but I'm up throughout the night and I'm a light sleeper. So I'll keep the sleep gels in my bathroom. And if I wake up and get on a thought and just start chasing that thought, good luck on getting back to sleep until I started utilizing the sleep gels. So I'll use the sleep gels, you know, here and there when I need sleep. But I do use the soft gels every day. I do use the dropper, you know, sporadically. But magnesium is a staple for my daily use. Ashwagandha is a big staple for me. And I'll even use turkey tail. I'll go back and forth between the two. And then I take a prebiotic and a probiotic.
Gotcha. You have it pretty well figured out at this point.
I think for me, you're right. I think everybody needs to take their own journey. I believe that the doctor of the future is really us paying more attention to our brain and our body. One of the things that I find so interesting is just over the last couple of years, we found how much gut health is responsible for mental health. And so in my mind, that's like, okay, if inflammation is present, let's decrease the inflammation. And so from my perspective, we should be utilizing inflammatory support products on a daily basis, CBD being one of them. And so if we can get our gut to function as it should, both with prebiotics, probiotics, with CBD, even eating like beets and eating lettuce and eating like some of these nutrients that are going to provide us with more fiber, we've got to get away from processed food because it's killing us. And sugar, I love sugar just like the next person, but I'm really trying to just like pull back and just say, hey, if I have it once in a while, my body can be fine with that, but I can't be having it on a daily basis. It tears me up.
Yeah. Are there any ways that you see these products being used effectively or out of the box, such as, for example, when I make coffee, I will add a little bit of L-theanine or the amino acid taurine or something like that, take the edge off the caffeine. How about anything else like that?
Yeah, that's great. I mean, that's brilliant. Honestly, I think let's blend in nutrition what is just kind of common with our day, right? And so you utilize that within your coffee. I think there's been times where I've utilized full spectrum in my smoothie. Or one of my favorite ways to consume full and broad spectrum is to do like an infusion. So I'll cut up fruit, I'll cut up vegetables, I'll put it into my water, do a couple of drops, and then I'll sip on that throughout the day. Mm-hmm. And that's a really great way that I enjoy to take it. But I mean, just like coffee or a smoothie or a drink, there's hundreds of ways to blend in these nutrients. I also believe in the branched chain amino complexes. And so the BCAAs, a lot of times people call them, but I utilize those, you know, pretty frequently, especially when I'm trying to get some recovery. So if I've really pushed my muscles, I know that branched chain amino acids are the building blocks of protein. And so I want that in my body. But glutamine is another one that in a powderized form I will utilize for like muscle maintenance and muscle growth.
Okay. Scott, how do people go about reaching you, connecting with you online and picking up some of the Met Naturals products?
Yeah, thanks so much, Nick. So everybody can go to our website. It's MetNaturals, MetNaturals.com. We love to engage and interact with people online. And so find us on social. We're on Instagram probably most prominently. But look for us on TikTok, look for us on LinkedIn, look for us on even Twitter. We utilize those platforms to reach an audience of curious people because we talk about this audience as CBD users, and really we're only talking about 10 to 15% of people who are consistently taking CBD or believe that CBD is going to provide some type of a benefit for them. It's more like 85 to 90% of people who don't utilize it, don't know how to take it, aren't comfortable with it. And we'd like to be that brand. I mean, ultimately, we want you to trust the transparency. We want you to trust the simplicity and also the purity of the whole process. Because if we can drive this by data, then we don't guess. We're telling you what's right for your body because it was farmed right, stored right, because it was extracted right. And so I would say people that want to engage, let's do it on social. And those that want to look and see the products and, you know, some of the testimonials that are out there, head to our website.
Okay. And are you on the socials at the same thing at Met Naturals?
Yeah, met.naturals is our social platforms.
Gotcha. Do we arrange anything for the listeners? Any specials?
Yeah, I would like to give them a 10% discount.
Let's use Urban. Let's use the code Urban.
Urban? I like that. URBAN?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. I'll put that in place.
Thank you. Thanks for doing that. I have one more question before we start to wind down.
Okay.
Imagine there's a burning of the books and all knowledge on earth is gone, but you get to save the works of three teachers. Who do you choose and why?
Ooh, that is a great question. I would tell you that one of my favorite authors of today is Simon Sinek. I love Simon Sinek, the way that he presents things in a data way. I really, really appreciate his authorship, right? I would tell you, I also am a huge lover of history. And so historically, I love the Bible. Like, it's a great historical manifest of different people's viewpoints. Like, you think of all the Gospels, Matthew, Luke, John, they're all perspectives, all telling the same experience, but in a different format. So really love that. And then I would tell you the book that I read all the time is Donald Miller's book about marketing. So Donald Miller, he wrote this book. Why am I blanking?
Is it called Story Brand?
Yeah, Building a Story Brand. Thank you. Appreciate that. But I read that book every year, mainly because marketing in its principle is the right thing to do. But what to do, the activities, I believe it's conversion. I believe it's telling a story. I believe it's allowing the person to be the hero of their own story. Yeah. You're simply the guide.
Yeah. And especially if you're marketing a product that is in a league of its own and people should be consuming. It's one thing if it's snake oil. It's another if it's healthy oil.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we'll go on to a quick rapid fire round now. Are you ready?
Yep, I'm ready.
What area of your own health and performance are you currently working on?
Mental health.
Are you a fan of the Delta 8 and Delta 10 THC molecules that seem to be popular these days?
I am not.
What's been the best life-changing purchase under $500?
I would tell you the soft gels. They've changed my life.
Wow, okay. Finally, what's one thing that your tribe doesn't know about you?
I was paralyzed when I was 15 years old. A lot of times people don't fully understand what that means. I had a disease called Guillain-Barré. Oh. And so all of my nerve endings were just totally depleted. And that in turn caused a lot of atrophy. So when I was 15 years old, it was pretty challenging. And it's interesting now at 41, I'm seeing some of those things return in the form of neuropathy, in the form of like hot spots, and like my legs, they're just not functioning like they once were. And so I'm really trying to get my mental right, but also among the things that I do is try to build muscle in my calves and in my legs.
How did you come back from that paralysis?
Yeah. So what they do is they treat you with a steroid called gamma globulin. And what they do is that stops the advancement of the disease or the paralysis. But then you've got to wait until your nerves grow back. And your nerves will grow at about an inch a month, maybe. That's best case scenario. And so for me, I was in leg braces for over a year. I was in a wheelchair for 3 months. Like, there's just certain things that you take for granted, that when they're removed, it's like, whoa, I didn't even know my body could not function like this. Wow. Right? You just, as a kid, you're like, I can do anything. Mm-hmm. And so I got a good perspective at a young age to be able to say, I'm not going to take those things for granted. And I really need to manage my health. And that really, in fairness, didn't start until my 20s. But since my 30s, because 20s, I was just trying to build muscle and look like, you know, The Rock or whatever. But in my 30s, I've really been like, okay, let's be responsible. Let's not hurt myself. Let's not get in the gym and be a maniac, but let's just be healthy, fit, and then include body and mind, which that's one of the things that I'm really, truly interested in, is the connectivity that I don't think that we give enough recognition to.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good reminder. Scott, how would you like to conclude today? Any final thoughts?
Yeah, I would just tell people, like, don't be so hard on yourself. Like, we're all works in progress, and whether you are, you know, struggling in a day, in a week, in a month, like, realize that, you know, it's far better than you think, and you can go and accomplish anything. I'm living proof of that. You know, at 15, 16, 17, I was kind of a, we'll call a unguided, undirectional person. And over time, I've become somebody that's very disciplined and very specific in what I want. But you can't be specific with outcomes unless you're specific with goals and holding yeah. yourself accountable. So I'm a big accountability guy, but ultimately, just don't be so hard on yourself, I would say, people, and give yourself more credit than you are giving yourself. Mm.
That's a great way to wrap it up. Scott, thanks for joining me today. It's been a pleasure hosting you.
Thank you. You're both a gentleman and a scholar.
Thank you. I'm Nick Urban, here with Scott Schwab, signing out from mindbodypeak.com. Have a great week and be an outlier. Thank you for tuning in to this episode. Head over to Apple Music, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts and leave a rating. Every review helps me bring you thought-provoking guests. As always, you can find the show notes for this one at mindbodypeak.com/episode. There, you can also chat with other peak performers or connect with me directly. The information depicted in this podcast is for information purposes only. Please consult your primary healthcare professional before making any lifestyle changes.